Welcome in to the Monday Mailbag with Mike Chioda Party.
What's up, Big Cass? What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Good, man. How are you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great, man. Doing great. Oh, man. Stopped at a TNA show last night. It was pretty
okay.
Nice.
Okay.
Santino Morella and some of the boys invited me up. It was great, man. Good to see Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy. Nick Nemeth was there Friday. I showed up, so I didn't see Nick Saturday. So, but there was a bunch of other guys there. It was a great time, man. Mike Santana and a bunch of guys.
I don't want to. I'll get into it. Were you just hanging? Did you do anything, or was it just a hang with the boys?
Just hanging, me and my wife. Yeah, Epico and Primo went up there. Swagger went up there Friday night. Donald Hager. So it was just kind of like a hangout, man. Just I guess everybody hanging out looking for a job, really.
That's it.
But it was great, man. Seeing Tommy Dreamer and a bunch of people, Lance Storm and Rhino, Pierre from the Quebecers. Remember Pierre back in the day, bro?
Yeah.
Still going, bro. God bless him. Looks great.
Wow.
Yeah, still doing some crazy
stuff. That sounds like a fun crew.
Yeah, they had a good show last night. Real good show here in Tampa, man, at the fairgrounds. Real.
So I take it, everybody that's watching along, if you're watching along live, I know just in case it pops up, I figured we would have some SummerSlam talk. So you're going to be out on SummerSlam because you were at a different show. We might recap that later. You're going to, of course, sit down and check that out later this week. Of course.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out later this week. I was at TNA having a good time seeing some old friends, though. And the referees were phenomenal there, man, TNA. Great, great, great group of refs. And they got some really good talented refs, too.
Good.
So it's good.
Well, we are broadcasting live in front of a studio audience here at Ad-Free Show. So we appreciate that. If y'all want to interact with us, have some fun, talk amongst yourselves, talk to us, send us a question, whatever you think of, hit us up in the chats. We'll get to as many of those as we can. I see Greg the Valen Hammer Time is back from last time.
Love it.
Ashley Yeager's here. Coach Rosie's here. Some more. So we're going to have a good time today hanging out and doing the mailbag here with Mr. Mike Chioda. I was going to ask you about it, but Ben Jones and a couple other people were already bringing it up in the mailbag questions. So I'm going to jump right in because I want to hear about it. Ben Jones says, happy birthday, Mike. What's the best birthday you ever had? So first of all, belated. We caught you before your birthday and now right after your birthday. How was it, man?
Yeah, it was great. Fantastic and relaxed in Clearwater for a couple of days. And I want to thank definitely Ben and everybody on Ad Free and all the wishes and the kind words of my birthday, man, wishes. So I wanted to thank everybody for them. Made my day big time. And just really appreciate how many people care and think about you out there. It's awesome. Best birthday I ever had, I'd probably say it had to be on the road. And it was actually California in L.A. And that was my birthday, man. We went out all night. Then we went to a private club and it was like a bar up top of the roof and everything. It was just, I think we got back like 6-7 in the morning.
Nice.
That was one of the birthdays that come to top. And then special, and one with my wife, we went to Barcelona on a cruise for my birthday. So that was, that's probably Barcelona cruise to Italy and all that other stuff. So that was one of the best too.
Killer. Nice stuff there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see what we got. There was another birthday one, but I'll get to it in just a second. Tony Flowers says, what up, guys? Mike, did you ever ref a match where a wrestler, quote, got color and it was so much bleeding you actually became concerned for the wrestler? Thanks, fellas. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I mean, definitely. There's some guys that bled out. I mean, back in the day when they cut themselves, some of them guys don't realize how much they gigged themselves. And especially with the adrenaline, and then they take aspirin and stuff like that back in them days to get their blood thinner and stuff like that, you know, and man, it would be coming out all over the place. Sometimes I'm thinking, how much more blood can you bleed?
Yeah, well, at some point.
But what was unbelievable too is like, when I was 13 at a baseball camp in Atlanta in Georgia, and we were there for the summer, my first wrestling bed there was at the Omni, watching Abdullah the Butcher. and it had to be like 1980, 81 or something like that, 80, okay. 81. And it was unbelievable. That man, brother, he bled like you wouldn't believe. I was like, holy shit. And then it was unbelievable, because after that, it was like, got into the wrestling business with Gorilla Monsoon at 15, 16 with Joey and all that. Then at 18, full-time back with WWE, you know, WWF at the time. But, yeah, I never seen, really, to be honest with you, probably I've seen Abdullah the Butcher bleed more than I've ever seen anybody in the ring.
You know what I thought you were
going to
say?
And I wasn't even in the fucking business, you know?
You know what I thought you were going to say is Flair's last match.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he was bleeding, brother.
I know, he was, too, man.
He was bleeding fast. He was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was going to be one you got to. Let's go on. Let's jump in the chat so we can keep everybody engaged that is over here. We want to appreciate y'all for watching this live. So we'll make sure we get to your questions. Greg the Valent Hammertime said, happy fun day Sunday, everybody. How was everyone's SummerSlam? We hit on that a little bit. You missed it, but you'll get to that later this week. I thought it was a great show. Some of it was predictable, but I thought they got us to where we thought they were going to go in a fun, entertaining way.
Right.
You got some belt changes. You got some, some run-ins at the end. So I thought they did a pretty good damn job. I enjoyed it. I watched it and had a fun time watching it.
Yeah, we were getting word backstage at TNA and stuff. You know, somebody was getting updates and stuff. And I was surprised Gunther to get it back so soon. I thought they'd make him wait a little while, but good.
Gunther gets his push, stepping up as a heavyweight champ. They had the Judgment Day is broken up finally. So that storyline is going to splinter off into a bunch of different things. Looks like that'll be Finn and Damian now making a run together.
Nice.
Dom, he's with Liv. So where does that go? Where does Ray go?
Yeah.
That's still, now they got that feud still going. So there's a lot going on there. They got the Bloodline story down the road. I don't know what they, now it's going to be about run-ins and who they're teaming up with after that, I guess.
Yep.
I thought it was an exciting show. Women's belt change.
Good. Yeah. I can't wait to see it. Yeah. I can't wait to see it. Any bumps, any referee bumps in there?
Not many ref bumps. I think there was a real bump that I think, Jacob Fatu, it looked like he got hurt. I hope he's not. I have not heard today, but if that was a work, it was a very good one. He looked like he hurt his ankle real bad. He did a salt off the did a jump off the top rope onto the Cody on the table.
Table.
And you could see his shin like hit the corner of the table.
Oh, that hurts. So,
and then he just was like sitting there, and he was like, he told Solo, he's like, just get back in there. Like, and it was like, oh, that kind of looked like they were supposed to do some more stuff.
Yeah, that table's thick too, man. That table's thick. Even though it goes, but still, if you hit your shin on the edge of that table, it's gone, man. It's going to do some fucking damage.
So I dug it. Y'all give us let us know what you thought about it in the chat. Love to hear from y'all. Coach Rosie's in here. He's got one ass Chi-Chi. He says, what are your favorite Olympic events? Did you ever breakdance when you were young and back east? Now, breakdancing got added this year.
Yeah, right. No, it did not.
Yeah, it's an official Olympic sport. Yeah.
Oh, shit. That's a trip. Oh, my God. I know, you know, me and Meredith, my wife, were sitting there. She goes, they call this an Olympic sport? They call this? I'm like, yeah, babe, unfortunately, they do.
Yeah, wait till y'all see breakdancing. Wait till you see that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we were watching some Olympics a little bit today, and yeah, I mean, the shot put, you know, I love the soccer, the men's soccer and stuff. Was getting into the women's soccer when they were strong, of course. But I love the hockey. Hockey's number one. I'd have to say and the shot put's one of my things, too. But it's not.
It was fun the other day.
Yeah.
I watched that final the other day.
Yeah. And there was a couple guys like from the U.S. took, you know, gold and bronze today and stuff. It's pretty cool the other day. I mean, so, but yeah, I mean, shot put, I'd say hockey. I do like some of the track, you know, track and field and stuff like that. And I think some of the gymnastics on the board, God, what's it? God, it's pretty impressive. Like
the they old, run and jump.
Simone Biles from Houston. Like Nadia Comaneci. The ones on the balance beam.
Oh, the balance beam.
Oh my God, the fucking balance beam. That takes some. You know, that's tough, man.
That's insane.
That is insane. Even though I'm not a fan of it, you become a fan just watching it to see how these girls, you know. Because I remember Nadia Comaneci back in the day and all these girls and that were really good. I mean, there's quite a few. And soccer is one of my favorite, too.
All right. Let's see what we got here as we go back to the mailbag. Our buddy Matt Blackstock. Time to check in with Matt.
What's up, Matt?
Matt's... got a lot for us. Here we go. Let's break it down. He says, hey, guys, happy birthday, Kyoto. It's been a year ago since he got to wish you happy birthday.
All right.
He's doing good. You. Said he's got a new worship leader at his church. How about that? I'm happy about it. It's been over a year to find the right one, and we did a couple of weeks ago. He said he got to play drums, and he wore his Kyoto 31-year shirt. How about that?
Nice. Thank you, Matt, my brother.
He also said he heard SmackDown is coming to his area October 11th, Greenville, South Carolina. He's hoping he can go to that. And he says, now the questions. He says, how do you feel? About a year ago is when Matt Blackstock wished you a happy birthday, Mike. He was happy to play music for you. He's happy he did the video. He said it took a lot of nerves to make the video for you, and I'm happy I could show you what the kindness is to meet new people. And we need those kind of people in the world. He said, be kind to everyone. I was nervous about it to make that video for you.
Oh,
so,
man.
Mike, how cool was that, man? Nothing to be nervous about when he's as good as Matt, right?
God, this guy is just, every time I see him do something for me, it just uplifts me like for the whole day and a whole week. It's just every time. And I got to watch, I don't watch it just once. I'll watch it like sometimes 10 times or 15 times. Love this guy, man. I love his face. I'm telling you, he brings joy to life, and he's all over the place. He's traveling around more than me lately, man.
All the time.
He's there. I'm like, I'm loving it. I love him, man. I'm glad he's become a friend and just become, you know, part of ad-free shows, and he's got always said nothing but kind words, man. How do you not love a person like that with a lot of love?
Yeah.
Good heart.
Appreciate you, Mac. Matt, he also says his crushy. It was happy birthday to Crushy as well. He said, I miss your face. She won the Dance Notice Award for the Cheer Choice Awards. So she's going to be the special. He's going to be the special guest referee of that one. He says, no offense.
Well, happy birthday, Crushy. Happy belated birthday.
He said, who would win in a dance battle, Mike? You or Crushy?
No, Crushy all the way. Big time.
What's your go-to move? The grocery cart? The sprinkler?
I used to have some moves and all that shit back in the day, but those came out of the 80s and the 90s, man. The spins and the twists.
You could never have been in the breakdancing Olympics, dude. Pop-locking Olympics.
Oh, man. We're going to see some weirds talking about some old school Commodores and all the other bands. And we're going to see Earth, Wind, and Fire in Chicago coming up.
Do it. Yeah. Have you seen them before?
I've seen Chicago way back in the day, but I haven't seen them recently, and I haven't seen Earth, Wind, and Fire ever. So
last year, last summer, I saw Earth, Wind, and Fire, and they blew the doors off of it.
No shit, really good. That's such good to hear. Because she was wondering too. My wife, she's like, and we just got him this morning. We just got him. We were looking, and she goes, "Should I get him?" I'm like, "Yeah, let's get him."
Yes.
So, we're going to that. So we just got him this morning. It's funny how. But you know, it's the old school bands like the Commodores, Earth, Wind, and Fire. What's the other bands, man? God, back in the 70s and 80s.
Lakeside, like all that stuff.
Just some old school bands, man. They were great.
Yeah.
But
yeah, fantastic. If you have a chance, go see Earth, Wind, and Fire.
We definitely.
It's one of those where everybody around you by the end of it, it's like your best buds because you've been dancing for 3 hours. You know what I mean? Like, that's my dude just over here. We're dancing. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, man, it was a fun time, dude.
Oh, man, I tell you. Dancing days are good, though.
Matt said he would be in the middle of the dance battle. If he was, he'd keep it right down the middle. No screw jobs for you, Kiana. That means Crushy just beat you straight up. All right.
Yeah, damn right. I'd have to tap out right in the beginning. And to wrap
up, Matt said, I want to tell you a story about over 30 years ago, back in 92 or 93. We were at a church service, and I went to get a soda from the soda machine. I put money in it, and after I got my soda, I heard a drop of the machine, another soda. So I got it, and then another one, and the soda machine was stuck. All the soda came out of the machine. 18 cans popped out.
No way.
He had a jackpot on a Coke machine.
On a fucking Coke machine. Holy shit.
He asked if we had ever been in any kind of malfunctioning deal where we've been in something's like spitting out.
I've had a few things.
Really? Once.
Yeah, on the road, you know, used to, because vending machines used to be big back in the day.
Yeah.
And like in the 80s and 90s or whatever, until they made that transition and stuff with the little gift shops and stuff in the lobby. But yeah, I mean, vending machines, man, we used to, sometimes they used to fuck up and you could shake it and you'd get two or three more candy bars. Shit, I wish that was candy bars, not fucking Coke. Shit.
I remember one time we were in, I think, middle school, and they were like, they were redoing part of our gym at the school, attached to the school. And we would always, you know, if you didn't have a ride or didn't ride the bus, you'd like go to the gym and hang, you know, till your parents came or till you walked home or wherever. So we figured out they were, I don't know, remember who it was, but this kid ran up to us and he was like, "Hey, you guys know about how to get free stuff around here?" And we're like, "Now what is this? What are you talking about?" You know, we're just in middle school. We're like, "What are you talking about?" And he goes, "They're rebuilding this and there's these little silver pluckets." So they were like little washers, uncut washers.
Yeah.
And he was like, "You get those and they're the size of a quarter. You can put them in the vending machines and it reads it as a quarter."
We're like, that's right.
We walked all around the gym and got like just all of them. And we were hammering them for like a week. And finally they made this big announcement. Do not get in the construction. If you're caught putting washers in there, you're going to be
upset. I remember those quarters, man. I remember those gimmick things, man. Yeah. I remember them being out there.
They were just construction stuff. And if you could find them, they would fit perfect. It was hilarious. We were
shit.
We were in our head. We weren't thinking, well, somebody's going to eventually catch on. We were just like, hell yeah, free candy bar.
I never got a, you know, when you use the cigarette machine as the vending machine, never got another pack of cigarettes, though. It was only one at a time, man.
It was never malfunctioned when you needed them to.
Never.
Oh, that's so good. Thank you for the question, Matt. We appreciate you. See, I love your faces. Yeah. Hope Kyoto had a good birthday, and I know it. His is on New Year's Eve, he says. Little zombie.
Oh, sweet. All right.
New Year's Eve.
Look at that. Yeah, New Year's
that's
Eve.
A party.
I know. That's, oof. Well, that's weak because he gets both of them at one night.
Yeah, they're probably adding you.
It's like Christmas. It's like Christmas. Christmas Day.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Matt. One love, Matt. Thank you, man.
Adam Krasnoff hit us up, said, "Hey, Mike, hope you're doing well. Back in 2005, you refereed the infamous match on Raw when Val Venus took on Rob Conway in his singles debut. Conway came out looking like a guy from South Park and had absolutely no reaction from the crowd, giving birth to the legendary Conway pop. This term Conway pop has become quite popular online and often gets referenced whenever a wrestler gets a lackluster reaction from the audience. Do you recall this match? And if so, did you ever expect the crowd to be so silent that you could hear a pin drop?"
No, I mean, I don't remember that specific match, but I do remember when Conway came out with that gimmick and he wasn't getting over like we thought he would.
Business, y'all didn't ever do a Conway pop. Y'all didn't ever talk about that, right?
Nah, I don't remember that. Maybe there was something like that, but it was weird because like they tried to get him over in so many different occasions. And I remember like he just wasn't getting over at times, you know, and he was a fucking hell of a guy and a hell of a worker.
Yeah.
You know, but they just weren't getting him over at times and he wasn't getting the reactions they thought, you know, and I remember being in the ring and him not getting reactions that we thought he would get and he couldn't get them. It was weird. So
I mean, is it a weird, you know, awkward by association thing when you're in the ring and somebody's you know, it's not going where you, the reaction's not going where everybody wanted it to. So like, you feel bad for him.
Totally feel bad for him. I mean, totally. Because he was a great guy, hell of a worker, you know, really deserved it. And then he got, you know, then he was getting older in his career. I remember he came back for a little bit here and there to try and, it was just, it was weird. I just, we couldn't figure out why I couldn't get over it. Like, did the company put enough into him? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, usually when they put shit into you, they put your entrance and everything. They go all out and put everything. They put the office behind you, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know if they did that for Conway.
All right. Let's see what he says. Adam continues. Throughout your time at WWE, who were some of the stricter road agents and who were some of the more laid back ones?
Ooh. Stricter was Chief J. Strombo, Jack Lanza. Let's see. Rene Gallet was pretty strict too. He was pretty strict. I'm going old school here.
And what do you mean by when you say strict?
I mean, God forbid if you fucked up and things didn't go right, they were always on you or on me or on anybody that didn't do their fucking job right, you know?
Yeah.
Lonzo was always pissy at the boys if they didn't do what he said to do in there or hit the times or do, you know, do whatever. So those were strict agents, man. And they used to report right back to Vince, man. Those guys, direct lines. You know, there was a lot of laid back agents too as well. You know, I'm talking, there was guys like Arn Anderson was kind of laid back and real cool. And, you know, and you knew you could trust Arn. He didn't stooge you back off to the office or anything like that.
Yeah.
There was Grizzly Smith was back in the 80s and 90s. Like, he was, you know, a very laid back agent, very good guy. You know, that was Sam Houston's father and Rock and Robin. You know, I used to work with Rock and Robin and Sam Houston back in the day. They were fun to work with. But Grizzly Smith was very laid back and a very soft-spoken man, big guy. But, you know, the agents, like, you know, were really cool. Dean Malenko, Arn Anderson over the years, Mike Rotundo was a real cool agent. Oh, they're all really – those are really cool agents, man. Mike
Rotundo. You prefer a laid back or did you prefer more in the middle? I'm sure you were more strict, but
no.
Well, I mean, was there something to being having a little bit – some of them had to be probably too loose.
No, I mean, some of them had to be fucking, you know, because when the boys get out of control, those are the agents that, you know, if shit happens, they're going to embarrass the company over somewhere in Europe or do something wrong. And,
yeah,
you know, you're basically, these agents are basically like babysitting the boys.
Right.
I mean, baby.
Well, they got to have a line somewhere. Yeah.
But, I mean, in the 80s and 90s and 2000, I mean, it was fucking crazy because the boys would go nuts, man. They'd go out to town. They'd go out of town, bars and this, the hotel bar, this. And I mean, just partying all night, going nuts. But it's a different crowd the last 10 or 15 years.
Sure.
You know, a lot of guys were in the rooms playing Xbox and shit like that. And, you know,
yeah,
PlayStation and stuff, a lot of them. And then they would party at the hotel bar. You know, there's only a certain amount of us that would go out in the towns and the cities and party.
All right. And Adam says, you were in the ring during a match where the Beverly Brothers almost broke a jobber's neck with their Shaker Heights spike finisher. Were you ever concerned their finisher would seriously injure someone?
Well, their finisher, I mean, it was just back in them days, they don't really kind of do that. They are starting to feed that stuff back in, like pile drivers and all that stuff. But I mean, if you look at certain things like what Moxley had taken recently and certain other guys, and they're just trying to stay away from that spike pile driver or some kind of, you know, moves like that. I mean, it's just
that one, the Shaker Heights one just looks super dangerous. So I don't even know how you take it good. You know what I mean? It's just one of those where every time they did it, you're like, oh gosh, that looked awful.
Brother, I mean, it's just, you know, and then there's so many ways you could, like when, you know, Owen and Stone Cold were years ago and, you know, he spiked Stone Cold, you know, he slipped through, you know what I'm saying? Stone Cold's a big, thick guy too, man. He kind of slipped through a little bit and, you know, it's just, it's wrestling. It's professional wrestling, man. You can get seriously hurt.
Yeah.
On several amount of moves.
Yeah, I saw somebody the other day. It was viral on, it was going on around social media, Twitter or whatever. X, sorry. And it was, what would you rather take, a shaker hike spike, which, of course, it, for those who have not seen it, it's a tag team move, and one guy would catch him off the ropes and throw him almost Dirty Dancing style, like straight up, instead of a backdrop. He'd throw him straight up, and then the teammate would grab his face, throw his face down into the mat. So it was just, it was a weird finish. And then, of course, they said, would you rather take that or some of Undertaker's early tombstones? And they showed, you know, and he's still trying to get used to doing all that.
I'm trying to pull up this video right now that will blow your fucking mind, right? This guy, I love him. He's from Canada, but his daughter's refereeing and she's doing a great job, right? But brother, I got to pull this video up if I can find it.
The video of a move that looks like it's bad?
Oh, my God, brother. This guy power bombs his daughter. It almost looked like he snaps her neck. I mean, he was like, hey, I'm so proud of my daughter. And hold on. Here it is right here, brother. I'm going to send
it to you. He's proud of his daughter, but he's like,
oh, my God. I'm telling you. And I was like, bro, he could have seriously just snapped her neck. And he was like, oh, you think so? And I'm like, yeah.
You think so? Yeah, I know so. Yeah.
I mean, I know he's proud.
I'm going to catch up in the chat while you look for that. Yeah,
go ahead. I just said
what we got. Coach Rosie, happy 52, Coyote. He also says. All right.
Thank you, Coach. Thank you.
Any strip club birthday parties?
Yeah, I was just talking to Drake Wartz last night. He showed up. He's a referee for NXT. He was, you know, for WWE. And he was like, says, what are you doing lately, brother? You know, he goes, oh, I'm working here. He's worked a couple jobs. He's, you know, reffing, wrestling on the side. And he goes, yeah, I work at 2001 Odyssey. That's still fucking open in Tampa?
Wow.
It's like, he's like, it's all nude. It's all that. It's like, bro. It's like, yeah. I was at that place 30 years ago, 40 more, maybe.
The fact, huh?
That place has never closed down. I haven't passed it in a long time. You know, I've been here almost 5 years, but I don't know. I've seen the dollhouse open and stuff like that. And
that's right.
But yeah, I wish I was. Man, when he said that, brought back some memories, and I'm thinking. and he, you know what Drake says? Well, if you and Meredith want to come, like, you know, he's talking to me and my wife, and I'm like,
why come to the strip club?
Why would I want to take my wife to the strip club? Like I want, you know?
Yeah.
Oh fuck.
Let's see what we got. Oh, they said Jacob Fatu is in a walking boot now. Man, that hurts for him.
Ooh.
That sucks.
Oh, he just bruised it, bro. Maybe he just bruised
yeah,
it.
Yeah, hopefully it's not a break or anything that'll keep him out for too long of a time.
Thanks for the tip, pal.
There, and we had, I wanted to get this one in. We had some people chiming in with their concert. Oh, yeah.
I guess,
you got to see Starship at the State Fair.
Wow, that's a hell of a band. That's an old school band right there, brother.
Rosie said me and my wife are going to Foreigner's last show, coming to Phoenix.
Nice. Love Foreigner.
That's a good one as well.
Nice.
All right, let's get back to some questions. Let's see what we got. James Elcry.
Kick out crew.
He said, hey, fellas, thanks again for getting my question on last time. I was just recently at the Tragos and Thez Hall of Fame weekend, and it was brought to my attention that you aren't inducted. And my question is, why don't refs get the love they deserve? Why are Hall of Fames so hesitant to put them in? Is it an old school mentality? But if you think about it, the ref has to do the finish of the match. They are the ones making the final move by counting, and they get the whole crowd screaming with their counts of 1, 2, 3. You and others deserve to get your flowers. And if you aren't the first referee induction, who would you like to see go in? So first, let's talk about why don't you think referees get enough love in the Hall of Fame?
Man, brother, it's like it's the same thing as referees don't get paid much as a talent. You know, I mean, not even close. I don't know. It's just something that boggles my mind for a long time too. It's just, and you know, I'm so happy for Tim White that he broke, you know, open up the gates for the referees, and he deserves it getting in as a referee, and which he's done 10 other different things with the company for years. God bless him. I miss him very much. Great guy, great friend. You know, and there's another gentleman, Joey Morella, one of my good friends from years ago. And, you know, he's been past, God, since I think like 1994 right now, July 4th had just passed. And it's been so many years. And I say, God, why isn't Joey, you know, I used to pitch that years ago, Joey, you know, because I mean, Andre Hogan match, that's where it all started. You know what I'm saying? And all that. And he's done some phenomenal matches in his career. And he would have had a long career, but, you know, unfortunately he passed away. So I'd say Joey, you know, and I would like to see a lot more refs in. Yeah, I definitely would. And it's something that it's been boggling me for a long time. Like, why not the refs as well? They do managers. They do guys that are not even with the company for years. Celebrities. They do. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the question, James. We appreciate that. And I appreciate it. Jesse,
he got me going.
Yeah, I love it. Jesse Huffman wants to know, did you know Razor Ramon was going to do the honors for 123 Kid? He said, by the way, Damian Priest is catching a lot of shit and Drew's music cue was a second late. Just saying, that goes back to when we talked about last episode. Yeah. That was coming off of the botched finish at the last PLE.
Gotcha.
All right, so what's your thoughts here on did you know that Razor Ramon was going to do the honors for 123 Kid?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, he actually told me to speed up the count.
Nice.
So that was the fastest count I can make it without looking stupid. But yeah. I mean, he actually told me, he's like, Kyle, come here. He was like, I want you to up that three count just a little bit fast than normal.
Like, nice.
But don't fuck it up too bad. You know, don't make it look obvious. But, you know, I'm like, okay.
That's killer.
So it was fun, man. You know, it was funny because, you know, Razor was a little butter back then. You know, he had to do the job for the kid, and he's like, what the fuck? But those guys took pride in doing the jobs back then. But, you know, they were friends. They were boys. They were, you know, they liked the kid. He was young, you know.
Yeah.
He wasn't, you know, were they closer probably with the X-Pac days? Yes, you know, because the 1-2-3 kid, but, you know, they all helped him out, you know.
Yeah. And, it wasn't as close as they ended up being, but that was a big moment.
A huge moment, and you know, he's a hell of a worker. He was a hell of a worker when he worked, man, for them years. You know, he was quick, man. I enjoyed. I mean, there were some matches I did with him and Owen that was fucking phenomenal, man. A great match.
Edward B. Ring said, "Happy birthday to everyone's favorite referee." Some announcers have claimed it was very stressful to have Mr. McMahon in their ear while calling a match. Can you attest to this? Was he the one at the other end of your IFB, or was it someone else?
Nah, 5% of the times when there's certain situations, you can hear him yelling with the mic open, and he'd be in here too. But 90% of the times you're hearing everything come from gorilla position, either Billy Kidman or Jerry Briscoe back then, or Bruce Pritchard or Gorilla Monsoon. That's where you hear most of the relays right there. But yeah, it depends. Quite a few times it's gotten on, especially the time when Kurt Angle and Shane McMahon, you know, so Shane and that King of the Ring.
Yes.
With the glass and stuff. So that was one fucking time he was screaming.
He was getting on it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Edward always says, where the hell is my Mr. Kyoto action figure? LOL. When it comes out, it comes out. I can't wait. So first of all,
they're supposed to be in any day or already in already. So he said 2 weeks they were in the air.
Somebody brought it up. You can still get in.
Yes.
RetroWrestlingFigures.com. Get that pro wrestling figure. Your first one, right?
Yeah. Very first one, man. They got two different boxes too. It's pretty cool. They got two different boxes, and yeah, it's the first one ever. Guys, looking forward to, you know, the next series. But yeah, this series is just about. It should be here already.
Oh, y'all, boy. Check it out. Hit the QR code if you're watching along with us on the screen, or if you're just listening, go to RetroWrestlingFigures.com, search for the referee Mike Chioda figure. That is dropping any second now. Edward said, hey, there's a photo online of you and The Rock where you're wearing his sunglasses. Did you just walk by and jump in? Did he call you over? What do you remember of that picture?
Yeah, we just did pre-tapes, and he was doing some stuff. And then, you know, I just got in and stuff, and just we were just messing around, took a photo together, boom. You know, it's like, it's like, damn, wish we, I'm glad we did that, you know, because, like, yeah. Just, you know, back in them days, you never really, and I was in pre-tapes that happened, you know. I was going through some stuff a little while, like a couple months ago, going a whole box of pictures, man. I found like Japan pictures of me and Rock in Japan back in the day, South Africa and here. Like, I mean, God, it was like we're so young in the 90s, mid-90s, you know, somewhere around there.
Isn't it crazy how you, you say it all the time, even with your family and friends as you get older. For us that didn't grow up with a phone and a camera in our hands, it always sucked taking pictures, but then the older you got, you're like, man, I wish we would have took more pictures.
Yeah, no, we definitely. We
did so much bullshit.
I mean, you only took one of those fucking Kodak, you know, things with you. You never yeah. took two or three or four, you know, you always carried one. And you'd have 20-something pictures maybe or something, and then half of them wouldn't even come out because not much flash or the lighting's fucked up. But if you had a phone back then, how many pictures you'd have, you know?
My goodness, you'd have so much stuff.
Right.
So, see, social media would have been a whole different ball game, my friend.
Yep.
All right, let's kick it back. Let's see what we got. Jeff Ronquillo says, yo, Cassio and Mike, what up, Usos?
What up,
Usos? He says, do y'all think a doink reboot would work right now in WWE? Maybe a dark, sadistic version, or maybe a female version.
That's a damn good question. Doink the Clown, boy. Oh, I love the Doink.
I never thought of the dark, scary version. That's pretty interesting.
That could be. I mean, I think it would work. I think it's just entertaining, period, man. You know, I mean, they need to bring back some stuff like that. You know, I think it would, you know, and I think if WWE does it, they could pull it off, you know? They could pull it off with somebody.
In a serious way, with other production value and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, for shits and giggles or for whatever, I don't know. Try it. I mean,
maybe that's the name of the clown, Shits and Giggles.
Yeah, here comes Hornswoggle back.
Maybe it's a tag team. It's Shits and Giggles is the clown.
Oh, fuck.
We got to get a clown and then somebody who can't wrestle. It'll be Shits and Giggles. That's
shits
what
and
we're
Giggles. Doing. That's it. WWE is going a whole new route. You might as well go there. Fuck it.
I tweeted last night. I couldn't believe it. I was joking and I was like, and there was a commercial of Sheamus and he was doing Mike's Harder Lemonade. And I was like, my man's went from pizza rolls to Mike's Harder Lemonade. It's a new WWE, my friends. He went from that pizza roll to that pimping Mike's Harder Lemonade, some alcohol. That's pretty crazy. You know what right. I mean, Sheamus used to be the kids guy.
Yeah, right.
Not the kids guy, but you know what I mean? The kids loved Sheamus, and now they're older, and he's like, here's your alcohol, buddy. Like, that's what a great turn, man. That's awesome.
Oh, shit.
Jeff also said, any new cologne, fellas?
Man, I definitely haven't. Yeah, I've still got some of Jeff's cologne, man, that he sent us a while back.
Oh, is Jeff a cologne guy?
Actually, huge. Yeah, he's huge into it, bro. I mean, you sent me and Paulie a bottle, and it's very good stuff, man. And actually, you know what? I know I was going out shopping for some cologne last week, and I seen there was a couple things, and I was like, I got to check back on some, though, because I need to update my shit.
Okay, get this.
Give us the new stuff out there. Give us the word, brother.
Yeah, let us know what to like. I know he's got his own stuff, but if he went outside the box, what does he think is good stuff out there? That'd be good to know what his nose likes. And he also says, Mike, I've considered moving the family to South Florida, but we like Texas. You've lived in Texas and Florida, so what's the biggest differences state to state, would you say, cost of living, et cetera, he said?
Yeah. All right, cost of living. In Texas, you're going to get weird weather, man. You're going to get extremely hot at this time of the year, 95 to 100. Sometimes it stays about 100 for like a whole month or for 6 weeks. It's like 80, 85 at night at some place. You know, it's hot at night. Here it gets at least in the 70s at night, you know, like it never gets above like 93 here, 95 in Tampa. It's weird. It doesn't get that high, you know. The cost of living is about, there's no state income tax in both states. The gas is a little bit cheaper in Houston because it's, they got a lot of oil refineries. So you're going to see that about a 20 cents difference, 15 cents a gallon difference, you know. It's not much, but it's something. And the cost, I mean, yeah, you're going to pay a lot more tolls. Like, you know, tolls we used to pay just to the airports and going shopping. They did every road around in Houston and like out the suburbs of Houston tolls. We were near the Spring and Woodlands area, 30 minutes north of Houston. Me and my wife were paying $200 a month each car in tolls, right? We came to Tampa. We haven't paid a fucking toll since. I mean, we must have. The only time we pay a toll is if we're in Orlando, driving around in Orlando, because it's Disney, you know. But, I mean, you go down to Florida Turnpike, you know, from one end to the other, yeah. But for the most part, we don't pay local toll, you know, like nothing. Saves, I mean, she was spending like 20-something hundred a year. I was spending 20-something hundred a year on tolls. We saved $4,000 just, I mean, it was like, holy shit, there's no tolls to the airport. There's no tolls to Clearwater. There's no tolls to St. Augustine. There's no fucking tolls to here. There's no, you know. So it, for us, it was a savings in that. We saved Houston. Now, real quick, Houston was $2,000. We had two Lexuses, full coverage, $2,000 a piece we were paying for our cars. So we put 3,000 to 5,000 miles on it a year. We moved here. We only paid $1,100 each car. Same company, same everything, and we saved a lot more money in car insurance. But now that's went up too over the recent. But there was a lot of things we saved on taxes. My house, the same size in Houston, was $14,000-$15,000 a year in taxes because you paid three taxes, a mud tax. And if you can get away with somewhere of not paying a mud tax, that's good. You're paying a county tax and like another local school tax. So I was paying 14 on the same size house in Florida. We came here and paid $8,000 and we're off a pond. We're in a beautiful development. No, you know, flood zone, Wesley Chapel area. You know, we were talking, I was talking to Natty Neidhart last night. Great to see her, by the way. And she was, you know, we were just amazed how like Wesley Chapel, this area has boomed, you know, and just, it's expensive here now too. Like our house, it more than doubled in 5 years, our house.
That's crazy, man.
So it's crazy, man. It's just, I think it's expensive everywhere. And, you know, Texas might be a little bit cheaper housings to buy. That's for sure. If you're looking to buy, you get more for your buck. But I don't know, maybe more crime in Houston too.
So you would vote Florida?
I would, yes. Yeah. I would say Florida is the state to be in. Sure is.
All right. Thanks for the question, Jeff. Appreciate you, man. Going back to our chat, Josh Rosenbaum said, as you get wiser with age, how many should have, could have moments you wish you could do over?
Oh, yeah, tons of them. Shit. Yeah, I mean, all the things that you did wrong, you know, you thought you knew everything back then, but, you know, you go back and you look at some things and you go, shit. Shouldn't have done this, shouldn't have done that. I mean, there's a dozen of them, more, two dozen, three dozen, probably more than that, you know? And you learn from
it. Older, you know, some people are like, no regrets, man. I think the older you get, you're like, yeah, I do have some regrets.
No doubt. I mean, and you fucking learn from your mistakes, man. You learn, especially when you get locked up. You get locked up. I mean, bro, your ass is like, God. Fucking there. I want to be in this motherfucker.
Yeah, maybe I can learn my lessons a little softer way than I learned some of them.
You know? So become serious. I mean, yeah, that's for sure, man. So, yeah, you learn your lessons.
No regrets for the Val and Hammer time. Don't do something, Greg. You got Greg. No regrets.
He's a young stud, though, man. He's a young stud.
Coach at Humbright, you're my 29th year as a teacher. Nice.
Oh, nice. 29th? 29 years?
Yeah, man. That's nice. Awesome, dude.
That is awesome. Hell yeah.
All right, now jumping back to the chat, we got one more question, and it's Lauren Eason. You know Lauren likes to get us started on these food battles.
Yes, I love it. What's up, Lauren?
Food battles, okay? And I'm going to put it in the chat. I want everybody, this is going to be a super tough one.
All right.
Kyoto, this one is about fast food, okay? So I'm going to put it in the chat. People watching live, they can chime in. You can only keep four.
Out of the five?
No, there's nine. You got to cut five of them.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, this is going to get dangerous.
All right.
Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich.
Yes.
KFC famous bowl. I'm probably out on that. Wendy's Baconator. Subway $5 footlong, McDonald's Big Mac, Chipotle Burrito Bowl, Taco Bell Crunch Wrap, Domino's Pizza, and Chick-fil-A Sandwich.
Oh, you got to cut five? Let's see.
You got to cut five, yeah. You can only keep four of those.
Keep four. Man, I'm gonna take Chick-fil-A Sandwich.
You're going to keep it or cut it?
Keep it.
Keep Chick-fil-A. All right. Keep Popeyes.
Keep Popeyes spicy chicken.
Okay.
And
now you got Domino's.
Definitely keep McDonald's Big Mac.
Okay. Keeping the Big Mac. You got one more. Oh, God. That's tough.
And the fucking, oh, man. I hate.
All right. You got Taco Bell Crunchwrap, Domino's Chipotle Burrito Bowl, $5 footlong, Wendy's Baconator, KFC Bowl.
Fuck. Baconator's KFC bowl. No, let's see. I'd probably have to go with Domino's Pizza, bro.
Well, see, he just said Domino's Pizza because that's a variety. You know what I mean? That's a good. No. I got to keep Domino's just because I can.
Yeah,
I can get pepperoni pizza. I can get the next one ham. I can get the next. Yeah,
that's just it. For pepperoni variety. Mushroom and pepperoni this pineapple. I can get.
Just keep it rotating. Yeah.
Yeah. You and get it crispy. Oh, yeah. Then
right, that's a good. I'm keeping Domino's. I'm keeping Chick-fil-A as well. It's tough. I'm probably going to keep the foot long. I just like a good sandwich every now and then. If you can get a good Subway, they're good. You got to get a good Subway. There's a bunch of bad ones out there.
That's true, bro. I know. You see, you look at that meat, and you're like, ah. And they cut it fresh now, supposedly.
Do they? That's okay. I hadn't been in a second.
I think they cut it fresh now, yeah.
Because that's what I like about Jersey Mike's is they cut it right there in front of you.
Right. I know. I don't know. Publix got a fucking nice sandwich out here, man.
They do have a good sandwich.
Jimmy John's, too, so.
I love some Jimmy John's, too. I'm going to dump Taco Bell only because I'm not a big fan of the Crunch Wrap. Well, I like the Crunch Wrap, but it's not my go-to at Taco Bell, so.
Right.
I probably won't pick yet. I don't want the KFC bowl. I guess the Big Mac.
That's yeah, not really right.
Got you there, but I guess.
Yeah, I know. I'm a double quarter pounder with cheese. My wife's.
I'm quarter pounder. Yeah, I'm not.
Double
I'm
quarter pounder.
I'm gonna get some. Well, I'm getting a quarter pounder, and I'm getting some nugs on the side. That's what I'm getting.
Yeah, I don't.
Coach Rosie said Crunchwrap, Popeyes, Chipotle, Big Mac. So he's going Chipotle in there, and the Crunchwrap.
Chipotle, yeah, that's good though. Yeah, you know what's good at fucking Taco Bell is my wife loves Taco Bell in the hungover days or whatever. Yeah. Sunday and Sim, she'll go and I'll be like, damn, that's her go-to on a hungover day. I'm like, I wish it was something else, but I get this fucking grilled chicken burrito wrap.
The Cantina.
Know? I don't know if it's the Cantina, but I get double chicken, whatever, and extra sour cream. And that fucking thing is good. That thing is good.
Is it new?
No, I mean, they've
they had it for a while.
Yeah, they had it. And then you just got to ask them extra chicken, extra sauce.
Oh, come on now.
So, yeah, it's grilled. It's hot. You know, it's good. Oh, it's
are you going good. Taco Bell sauce?
What's that?
You go Taco Bell sauce?
Oh, yeah, Taco Bell sauce. I do.
Which
that.
Which one? Hot, medium, mild?
Hot, medium.
Fire or whatever?
Yeah, hot, medium.
I'll just like the mild. I'm not a big spicy guy. See, Coach Rosie's like, he wants spicy extra sauce.
Chalupa's stuff is good, too.
Oh, Greg said, have you ever dipped your McNuggets in the vanilla ice cream? I have not, Greg, but at Wendy's, I dip their fries in the Frosty, the chocolate Frosty. That's a great move. Have you ever did that, dog?
I never did that.
Dude, you got to do it, Mickey Mouse.
Damn. I mean, I'm drinking milkshakes and stuff like that with French
fries. Go to Wendy's, get the chocolate Frosty, and dip their fries in there. Maybe some nugs if you're feeling it, but... For sure, the fries, man. That was a jam, dude.
Bro, I know if my wife hears me saying this, my wife puts fucking ketchup on her pizza.
What?
Yes.
No, dude, you can't let her do that, dude.
And I mean, we'll get some good Jersey pizza and this and that. And she won't, that pizza, she won't do it to like New York or Jersey pizza or Philly. It's weird, though, but even if we get a New York pizza here, she'll dip it in ketchup.
Does she? But she don't do it at.
It was a Texas thing.
She don't do it at like the restaurant though, does she?
Oh yeah, she'll do it sometimes at a place. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, I know.
Like at home, it's one thing. You do what you want at home.
I know. You can't
be pulling off the hey, this is great pizza. Gonna have some ketchup.
Oh yeah,
they gonna be mom, like what?
Yeah, my mom was here for 4 months, and we had pizza one night, a couple nights, but. Pizza one night and she got the ketchup out. My mom's like, what's the ketchup for? I'm like, she likes ketchup with her pizza. She was like, what? She goes, it's got tomato sauce on it.
Yeah. She likes a little sugar on her pizza. That's what that is.
Yeah, but it was weird because when I'm at, like, yeah, I always bitch about there's no good pizza in Texas. You got to go to somewhere like Grimaldi's, this place in the Woodlands. And it was only like maybe one place at Brick Oven Pizza and whatever. But there was no good pizza places out there, you know, and when they ordered Domino's and she ordered Domino's for her kids or this and that, you know, Domino's, Pizza Hut and all that. That was her go-to. And they thought pizza was great. And I was like, I was like, wait till you get to the Northeast.
Man, that is wild, dude. That is wild. Well, appreciate everybody joining us, Mike. You got coming up, you got you're still signing up now for the new ref camp, right?
Oh yeah, late October, man. Two-day seminar and everything. So we already got some students signed up. Looking forward to having a good class, good seminar and stuff. And yeah, looking forward to it, man. It's a couple more months away. So
follow MJC Kyoto there if you want to get on that. He's got that tweeted out and he'll be letting you know about that. Be sure you follow myself, The Cassio Kid, and at Ad Free Shows, where you can see when we're going to be broadcasting live, what we've got upcoming, and you can interact with Mr. Mike Kyoto next time we go live. Man, these were fun ones, fun questions. Thanks,
everybody. Oh, yeah. Cass, real quick.
Yeah.
I just want to give a shout-out to everybody, see if everybody wants to do that football survivor pool. And if they want to do a $50 Annie or anything like that, you know, we do the first, second, third place winners. Three strikes, you're out. And if there's a lot of people interested, you know, definitely hit us up on Twitter or something. You know,
yeah, for sure.
Let us know, man. Let everybody know. So there's good money. There's been a couple winners the last couple of years, man, on the jackpots. And, you know, we'll get it together if they want to do it.
How about I saw the stat. You know, we just had the Hall of Fame game, the first preseason game.
Yep, yep.
The next Thursday without football is in February.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
So we are in it now. So the next Thursday we won't have a football game on is in February, baby. It's on us.
I'm telling you, they're having games on Friday nights and everything all week this year.
It's going to be so much fun. Ashley's in. Said yes on
the football. All right. Yes, Ashley's in. See, I'm saying, man, it would be a good little pot. We had a good little pot last year.
All right, we'll figure that out. In the meantime, if you want in, like Kyoto said, send us a message, or you can drop it in the comments on Ad Free Shows. And that's where you're also going to send your questions in so we can get to Mike. And if you want to, you can, of course, we encourage you. We'd love it when you join us live and interact with us in this chat. Me and Mike can talk forever, but it's fun to see y'all craziness over here. You never know what you're going to get. We've got, you know, we got people dipping their nuggets in their ice cream. We've got
Coach Moses said my son got fired from Wendy's. Fuck them. I'm sorry, man.
The chat is amazing. So we always appreciate y'all watching and hanging out with us. It is such a fun layer to this show, man, that we get to experience. And like we said at the beginning, it's part of the ad-free show's family, man. We're making friends and we're making family and meeting each other and hanging out and having good friendships about it. And that's what we love here, being a part of the AFS family. Once again, drop your comments in the video version or the audio version. Drop your questions. We'll get those in. Mike, thank you, man, for your time. We always appreciate you sitting down with us every 2 weeks,
brother. Thank you, Cassio, for everything. Appreciate you, brother. One love.